Amen. If I can't preach after that, I'm in trouble. Amen. That was a blessing. If you will, turn with me to Daniel chapter 9. Don't stand yet. I was told to say that. Give me a second to take care of all this. Last time I came here and had the opportunity to preach for y'all, I somehow had left my notes at home, and we had to run back in the back, and somehow we were able to pull up my notes on your computer, so your preacher's been preaching my notes for 2 years now, amen? Hope you enjoyed it, amen? Now you can all stand now. Daniel chapter 9. The Bible says, this is Daniel, of course, speaking, and the Bible says, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession." I don't know if you know this, but there's really only three people in the Bible of which nothing evil is ever said. Of course, Jesus. Amen. Daniel and, help me, I just forgot the last one. Joseph, thank you, Joseph. And he just said he confessed his sin. The Bible says, "And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces." That's the key of this message tonight, confusion of faces. "As at this day to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, though all of the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee." And then verse 8, he says it again. He says, "O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee." Father, we love you. We thank you for the privilege to sing your praises tonight. I thank you for the wonderful messages in the songs. And Father, I just pray that you'd help us to put aside the cares of this world for a time. Father, speak to us from your word. Father, I just pray that I might be just a faithful servant to preach the word of God true and faithful. Father, challenge us. Father, help us to apply it to our lives. And Father, I pray that we might make a difference in this world, Lord, as we look for your soon coming. Father, we love you and we thank you now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Please do be seated. Hate to even use this illustration, but have you ever heard the expression here, "Never assume that a lady's having a baby"? You guys know what I'm talking about? Hey, when's it due? I'm not pregnant. There was a young man, there was an individual serving us coffee the other day, and they were very well put together. I mean, their hair was perfect, and their makeup was perfect, and their clothes were perfect. And to be quite honest with you, I'm not trying to be ugly, because I think you'll see my heart in all this by the end of the message. But I looked, and I said, it's got to be tough for an unattractive woman today, because you're afraid to assume whether they're a boy or a girl. And unless they're wearing a pin, sometimes you don't know. We're living in a very confusing day. And this individual couldn't look me in the eye, and I, to be quite honest with you, I couldn't hardly look at them because I didn't know whether to call them a he or a she. And I, listen, I'm not trying to be intentionally offensive to anybody. I care for their soul. Amen. And we're just living in a world of confusion. You know, the sad truth is that that we see and hear about confusion every night on the news. I don't know if some of y'all saw this, but they have transvestites teaching our children in libraries and public schools. I think you know that. Today, some of these same schools are allowed to teach curriculum that have children questioning their gender. Many parents, instead of condemning the schools, champion the courage of these children to discover their identity. And then those same parents facilitate the mutilization of their bodies. That's the world we're living in. And we have to have pins to tell us what somebody's gender or their pronouns is. I still don't know what a them is, honestly. And by the way, again, I hope you know my heart. I'm not trying to be clever or cute in any of this. You know, lest we scorn these children, please know that they are the product of a godless society imposing their values on their defenseless children. And how confusing must it be to grow up in a world like this today? The other day I saw on Facebook, you can't trust everything, but it was a news thing, and it had, I believe it was a Methodist church, that they had an entire choir loft filled with transvestites. And I'm not talking about guys that were made up to look like girls. I'm talking about the big wigs and the fancy jewelry and everything like that. And the church service was the members out here apologizing to them for how harsh they had treated them over the years, essentially enabling them to continue in that destructive lifestyle. We're going to talk about that here in a moment. But folks, this is a missions conference, and I want you to know the Bible tells us that we're supposed to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. And a lot of times, churches at the back of the auditorium, it says, you are now entering the mission field. How many of y'all realize we're all missionaries? Amen. This is a missions conference. We are all missionaries, and we might not be in a foreign field. Now, do give and do pray and do volunteer. If the Lord wants you to go, go. Listen, I'll promise you this. I think we could use some more churches in Missouri. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Okay, and so if you will, I want you to take and have that mission zeal and have God speak to you. But we need to realize that we are missionaries in a mission field. And we have an opportunity to make a difference amongst people who are genuinely confused today. And I've seen times in the past, and sometimes it's sad, but you'll see Baptist preachers sometimes have just ugly attitudes about, you know, I literally heard this at a preacher's meeting one time. We ought to take all of them and line them against the wall and just machine gun them. And you know what the response was? Amen, brother! And please take this the right way. It made me sick. I'm going to conclude. I'm going to just go to my conclusion on some having compassion, making a difference. I'm a bus kid. Maybe I'm just a little bit overly sensitive to those who weren't raised in church, but maybe had been raised in some of these things. And when I saw that young man, because he was a young man, and I looked at him, I didn't want to make fun of him, and I didn't want to take and degrade him. I just was hurting for his soul. I'm going to show you some of this here in just a second. So if you would, I want to talk about the definition of confusion, and the Bible gives us one. So if you haven't figured out, we're talking about confusion tonight and the world of confusion that we're called to minister to, okay? And so the definition of confusion, go to Leviticus. The Bible gives us a definition. I don't know if you, my people all the time when they get to do devotions and stuff, they always talk about the law of first mention because their pastor is always talking about the law of first mention. But if you will, this is the first mention of confusion in the Bible. I want you to see what it's associated with. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 23 is where we're going. Leviticus, again, chapter 18, verse 23. And the Bible says, neither shall thou lie with any beast to defile thyself, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereunto. It is confusion. Now, folks, I didn't make the Bible up. That's the Bible. And, folks, that is gross sin. I'm just going to read it, and we're going to move on. Okay? But the Bible says it is confusion. Okay? Notice what it says in chapter 20 and verse 12. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 12. And if you will, the Bible says, and ye shall not... No, I'm not in the right one. There we go. 20 verse 12. The Bible says, and if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. how serious was God about this? Why? Because you're confusing people. Okay? And that, listen, God was harsher in the Old Testament because he's trying to teach us how destructive this type of behavior is. You know, and so if you will, again, in verse 12, the Bible says, put to death, they have wrought confusion, their blood shall be upon them. And folks, I'm just telling you that if you will, confusion is associated with gross fornication. You know what the Bible says about marriage? The Bible says the marriage bed is undefiled. Amen. And so if you will, it's about purity. Marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. And that's Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. And so if you will, the Bible, it teaches us that marriage and physical relationship, God has designed it for a purpose and he has a plan for it. And when it becomes perverted, it becomes confusion. Amen. And yet we're living in a world today that takes and promotes all these different alternative lifestyles and families and everything like that. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, but we'll get to a point here. Y'all understand? And so if you will, what is the marriage bed for? It's for procreation of the human race. How many human beings are on earth right now? Well, I'm not asking you to count. About 8 billion. We finally have approached 8 billion. And a lot of people say, well, that's too many human beings. We need to cut that down. By the way, all that's nonsense. The carrying capacity of the earth is far above 8 billion. Okay, it's far above that. When God says go and fill the earth, you know what he wanted it filled with? Souls to be raised in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Why? So they might know them. And listen, he's an infinite God. He can have infinite relationships. Amen? And so if you will, it's for procreation of the human race. It's for partnering. We're help meet. I'm thankful for my wife. Men, it's a good time for you to amen.
Amen.
Okay. Ladies, I hope you're thankful for your husband. I was hoping for a little bit higher pitched amen there. But marriage is wonderful when you work as partners, isn't it? And so that's what marriage is all about. It's also for pleasure and fulfillment. But listen, today's perversions lead to gross immorality, broken homes composed of broken people at best, and the slow annihilation of the human species at the worst. Folks, take this the right way. If homosexuality is practiced faithfully for one generation, all of mankind is doomed. Doomed. And so, if you will, it's confusion. By the way, I don't know if you know this, but the average relationship, homosexual relationship, 6 months. 6 months. I'm not relationship, marriage. Their average marriage is 6 months. Well, is there any stability in that? No, it's just constant destruction. And then, of course, there's a growing appetite for greater and greater perversions. Why am I describing all this? And I'm not trying to shock anybody. I tell you why. Because that used to be called, what we used to call homosexuals, what was the word? Gay. Well, sodomites. Gay. Anybody know what gay used to mean? And so they're trying to say, this is a happy, wonderful, great lifestyle, right? Well, if it is, can I tell you something? Suicide is the second leading cause of death among young people aged 10 to 24 today. Number two, suicide. I don't know about you, but that grieves me. And it grieves you more if it's touched you. I have opportunity. I'm a chaplain for what is called the Civil Air Patrol. And it's kind of, we always tell people it's kind of like Air Force ROTC, at least the cadet program. It's kind of like an Air Force ROTC. And a couple years ago, I had opportunity to teach a class on suicide prevention and awareness. And I was teaching, it was about 150, 200 cadets. And we had about this many in. And I said, how many of y'all's lives has been touched by suicide? Every hand went up. Every hand. I started teaching, and immediately one-third left because they were overwhelmed with the grief of thinking of a family or a friend who had committed suicide. And they had to go upstairs, and then the other third, another third went to go minister to them and pray with them while I was gone, and then I spoke to the other third. And I've done that 2 years in a row now, and I cannot tell you how many of our young people's lives have been touched by suicide. I'm in a military church. You guys know this, don't you? Amen. It's a real thing. LGBTQ youth, okay, are more than four times as likely to attempt suicide than their peers. Four times. Please take this the right way. Again, what's my conclusion on some having compassion, making a difference? These happy people who are pursuing lives of doing whatever they want to, nobody's going to tell them different, don't judge me, right, are going to end up in despair to the point that even amongst average people, they're four times more likely to commit suicide. Why? Because it is a life that is doomed to failure. It's confusion. A thing called the Trevor Project estimates that more than 1.8 million LGBTQ youth between the ages of 13 and 24 seriously consider suicide in the United States. That's at least one suicide, or attempted suicide, every 45 seconds. The Trevor Project also said in 2022, these are new statistics, okay, that they did a youth mental health and found that 45% of LGBTQ youth seriously considered attempting suicide in the past year, including more than half of the transgender and non-binary youth. Folks, when you take and you look at those individuals and you say, oh, that makes me sick. Well, please take this the right way. They are sick. And they need help. And they've been miseducated, and they've been misled, and they've been lied to. And we know who the big liar is, the devil himself, right? Right. Folks, over half of them have considered or attempted suicide in the last year. Half. Half. So all those people sitting in the choir loft that were being apologized to, folks, half of them within the next year were going to attempt suicide. Y'all get that? By the way, these aren't our numbers. They're their numbers. They're their numbers, okay? Those who pursue these appetites wonder how that they can end up empty, hopeless, abused, used up, suicidal, or sadly so hardened by their sin that they've lost the ability to reason or be reasoned with. You guys familiar with Romans chapter 1? Could you go there? If you're not familiar, let's get familiar. Go to Romans chapter 1, please. Romans chapter 1, verse 24 through 28. I'm hoping that you're familiar with this because I'm just going to hit it and move on. But verse 28 is the key one. You know this. The Bible says this. It says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And you'll do yourself well if you've never done it. Do yourself a Bible study where you study the word reprobate. Because it literally means this, and I think you'll find what I found. It means that they don't have the ability to reason. They can't think. Okay? Why? Folks, You have a school here, I think you do, right? No? But how many of y'all homeschool? Can I encourage you, don't just tell your kids what to believe. Give them the tools to reason. Amen. Give them the tools to reason, to study. I think that's what a pastor should do, is take and teach the people. Here's how you study your Bible. Here's how you compare scriptures. Here's how, amen? And the sad thing is people have been so indoctrinated. I don't know if you're following the news, but we got people on college campuses railing against Israel today because of how bad they're treating the people in Gaza. What? They've been indoctrinated. They don't even know how to use their heads anymore. And so you can take and make fun of these kids today. Yeah, these kids today are going to be your leaders tomorrow. Amen. You know, they take and they... I don't know if you know this, they justify homosexuality as the next evolution of mankind. Did you know that? Because, remember how I said we have 8 billion people on earth? They're going to try to take that down by pursuing these things. And I'm just telling you, that's the kind of nonsense that they believe, okay? It's just nonsense, amen? You know, so many things today have these same sinful motivations. I want you to think about this for a second. We got a border crisis. Don't you think that if we had too many people, they'd put a stop to that? You know why they don't? Because we need workers. You know why we need workers? Because we've aborted over 500,000 babies for the last 40 years. 500,000 per year. Over 500,000 per year. Okay? And you say, well, we don't have enough workers. Well, we could have had enough workers. Amen. And that's the world we're living in. And so we take and they throw these things down our throat and people embrace them and they stop using their head and they say, I'm going to be happy. And literally people, and I always say this, if you've had an abortion, can I just tell you this? God will forgive you. But I will promise you this, you're living with a scar. You're living with a hole in your heart for the rest of your life. And somebody said, well, I'm just not ready for that. I want to pursue my own happiness for a while. Yeah. And made it so that you'll never be happy ever again. Not truly. You guys understand the confusion of the young people in this world today? They're being lied to on every side, being indoctrinated in so many ways. Literally, those who pursue the course are going to come to the end of themselves or the end of their lives and have the following questions. Why, after pursuing all this pleasure, am I not happy? Amen. Or why have so many people tried to convince me that it would take me, it would make me happy? Atheism, carnality, mocking the righteous. I'm looking at you guys have a very impressive church. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's okay to amend yourself. I'm asking for it here. Okay? But people will mock you for the way you dress. And they'll mock you for what you stand for. They'll call you hypocrites. And they'll call you judgmental. And they'll hate you for loving them. Do these things happen? Yeah, they do. There's no other way to describe all this nonsense than to call it confusion. We're living in a world of confusion with confused people. And folks, if you'll study that word confusion, the word's root means shame. Okay? And so remember how they were confused of face? They had a shame face, if you will. And so it gives whole new meaning to terms like this. And we don't hear this anymore. But some of us are old enough to remember growing up, you should be ashamed of yourself. Remember hearing that? And so you say, hey, don't do that. That's going to lead to confusion. You're going to be ashamed of yourself if you pursue that course in life. Amen. And so if you will, you should be ashamed of yourself. Or how about this one? How could you? Amen. How could you? Okay. Well, we've kind of lost that. Why? Because now we live in a world is don't judge me. Don't judge me. That's my truth. That's my this or that, my that. Well, what is the destiny of the confused? Because we talked about the definition of the confused. What is the destiny of the confused? Can I tell you this? God's made it plenty clear. I don't know about you. I was studying about Sodom and Gomorrah here a little while back, and one liberal scholar said this. He said, the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was not homosexuality. The sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was inhospitality. They didn't let them in their house. Now y'all are going, what? Now you're confused. Amen. It's working. Amen. I'm not trying to confuse you. And they say, well, that's the only place in the Bible. So that's not what it means. Well, maybe they should read the end of the book of Judges where God almost destroys an entire tribe because of that sin. Read it if you never study it. Read it for yourself. Amen. He makes it abundantly clear in Romans chapter 1. I'm not going to go back there. He makes it abundantly clear. He's against it. Amen. And how about this one? How about abortion? Y'all think God's against abortion? When do y'all believe a baby becomes a baby? At conception. We all believe that? Anybody know when Jews believe a baby becomes a baby? Jews believe a baby becomes a baby when it takes its first breath. Did you know that most Jews are pro-abortion? They're also atheists. That's a fact. That's a fact, okay? And so you say, well, and they try to get around it and say, well, it's just tissue. Well, help me for a second here. Can y'all help me here? It's not just tissue. Amen. Is God against abortion? Yeah, let me give you an illustration of that. And I don't know if you ever study this. It's interesting to study. God hated Tyre and Sidon. And one of the reasons he hated Tyre and Sidon, they worshiped a god, Molech, they had different names for him, Baal, okay? And just for consideration, I don't want to tell you about child sacrifice, but it was awful. You guys familiar? God hated it. So much so that he hated the king of Tyre, who he equated with Satan at one point in the book of Ezekiel. Y'all with me? And so I hate that man, and I hate that country, and I'm going to drive them into the sea. And that king raised up with pride, going, ha, 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 "We're too tough. You can't do that." Until Nebuchadnezzar attacked the city for 13 years and drove them into the sea. Literally, did. They were on the mainland, and he took and he drove them onto a little island. And then they built walls, and they had their shipping. And by the way, they ultimately became known as a people called the Phoenicians. Okay, and they were notorious or famous for their shipping and everything like that. And nobody could get to the island. Why? Because they had walls and they had ships, and they said, "Ha ha ha! You'll never get to us now." And then a guy named Alexander the Great says, "Watch me." In over 8 months, he built a thing called a mole. He basically took all the road material, and he built a road all the way up to the walls until they could just attack it conventionally. And folks, it changed geography. You can look at it on a map, and you can see, if you will, it's just around Lebanon. But it goes out like this, and then all of a sudden there's a little jut like that where God says, "Watch if I can't get you." Why? Because I hate the sin of that child sacrifice that you're doing, okay? So much so also that later there was a man named Cato. He was a Roman senator, and he said this: "Carthage must be destroyed." You see, they went from the mainland to the island, and then they finally ran over to a place in North Africa and said, "Ha, ha, ha, now we can do it." And God said, "I said I was going to drive you in the sea, and I was going to destroy you." And folks, they did. They destroyed the city of Carthage, if you will, so much so that they tore down the walls, burnt the city, and then they took salt, and they said, "Nobody is ever going to live here again." And you say, "Well, the Romans did that." No, I'm going to let you a little secret. God did that. Because God was saying, "I hate homosexuality, and I hate killing babies." And folks, we live in a world today that glorifies both those things. And wonder why our kids are so confused. I want you to think about this. Think about the destiny of Satan for a second here. Amen? Because we're talking about shame here. You see, God is trying to say, you that practice that are going to end up ashamed. The Bible says today that the devil's the prince and the power of the air. And man, he's going to rule. I'm going to sit in the sides of the north. Amen. I'm going to be like the Most High. You ever read how it ends up? See, for sake of time, I'll give it to you. But Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 17. And then Isaiah chapter 14. Read those two places. But the Bible says the kings of the earth are going to walk by one day, and they're going to look down. Where did he say he was going to be? Amen? And they're going to look down, and they're going to say, "You're the one that..." They're going to do it like this too, by the way. "You're the one that made the nations tremble?" Can I ask you a question? How many of y'all think Satan might be ashamed on that day? Amen? I ask this question: was he ashamed or was he shamed? There's a difference. You know, the wonderful thing about being ashamed is if you find out in your life that you're pursuing something that is not profitable and God convicts your soul, you can become ashamed of that sin. And you know the wonderful thing about our God? You can confess your sin and he'll forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Shame's a good thing. Unless you get to the point where you're just shamed because it didn't work out the way that you had planned and the way that you had hoped. You know, I want you to go with me, if you will, and see Hebrews chapter 12, please. Hebrews chapter 12. Folks, all these people who are pursuing these sinful things are going to end up ashamed. And help me again. Was Daniel a pretty good guy? You know what? I'm looking out here. I'm looking. Man, this is a sharp church. I'm not saying that to boost your sales. I'm just telling you. Praise the Lord. Any of y'all sinners before you got saved? That's a good thing to remember. Amen. Did he clean you up and straighten you up and put you on a different road? Amen. Did he give you a different destiny? Yeah, we ought to be thankful for that. You know why? Because if you're not familiar with this text, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. I'm going to get there eventually here. Well, come on, Marcus. There we go. You're familiar with chapter 1. You're also familiar with chapter 11, okay? Verse 1, excuse me. You're familiar with chapter 11, the Hall of Fame of Faith. It's filled with people who trusted God and obeyed his commands, amen? But look what the Bible says in verse 2 of chapter 12. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, saying the next part with me, despising the shame, and is sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. Can I just tell you, I'm so glad that Jesus Christ did that for us. Amen. The Bible says he endured the cross. He despised the shame. Unless you don't know what that means, and to be quite honest with you, most of us probably don't know what that means unless you've studied it. But that word despise means to disregard or to think little of. And you say, oh, well, he just forgot all our sin. No, he did not. He did not just forget our sin. It just means that he didn't care to bear our sin. And I don't mean that he didn't have compassion for us. Is that in a sense, he loved us more than he hated to bear that sin. Boy, isn't that good to think about every once in a while? Because I'll tell you this, clearly he hated having to bear our sin. Y'all remember this in Matthew 27, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice and said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Listen, God turned his back on him who bore our sin. And why did he do it? Man, he did it because he loved us. I'm sorry, was any of y'all sinners before you got saved? Did he forgive you of any terrible sin? And by the way, even if you were a five-year-old and got saved, I don't know if you believe they can get saved that young, but let's, whatever the youngest you can get saved, okay? So I haven't done anything terrible. Did you ever lie? Because that cost Jesus his life. Amen? I want you to think about this. Jesus went to the cross knowing he was going to bear the confusion of face or the shame that our sin demanded. Amen? Folks, get a hold of this. In a sense, God the Father turned to God the Son and he said, I'm ashamed of you. I can't even look at you. Did that for 3 hours. And by the way, he's an eternal God. Time means nothing to him. That turning was an eternal turning. Amen. Why'd he do it? I don't know if you believe this or not. I do. I'll just tell you this. I think Adam did the same thing, folks. You remember he said, the day that you eat of it, say it with me, thou shalt surely die. And his wife had eaten the forbidden fruit and said, it's good for food. How many of y'all think he knew what the consequences of what she did was? Yeah, study it and come to your own conclusions on this. But I think he knew what it meant. And he said, I love her enough that I don't want to live without her. Amen? Aren't you glad God made a way back for them both, for all of us? He did. But folks, when it talks about despising the shame, it literally means this. He loved us more than he hated the consequences of sin. Amen. So get a hold of this. Even if your worst sin was just lying, okay? In a sense, all sin is sin. Now, there are some sins that are worse than other sins. That's another sermon for another day. Y'all with me? Okay. But we look at these people out there today and we see the confusion in their face and we say, what in the world can we do to make a difference? Well, we can have compassion on them. Amen. And we can be like Jesus, and rather than being recoiled and repelled because of the awful nature of their sin, and by the way, I want you to know that sin leaves you in a rough, disgusting state sometimes. Amen. I love the demon-possessed man. You know why? Because God saved him soul. And he went from somebody that couldn't sit in society to somebody who was seated and clothed and in his right mind. Yes, loved Jesus and said, I want to go where you're going. He says, go back to them and tell them. Yes. Amen. Amen. I love wicked King Manasseh, most wicked man in the Old Testament as far as I understand. Amen. And God saved his soul. If God can save the most wicked sinner in the Old Testament, and Paul said he saved the most wicked sinner in the New Testament, he was the chiefest of sinners. Amen? All right. Can I just say this? He can save those people that won't even look you in the eye. And he can see those. He can save those people that make your skin crawl. Amen? You know why? Because he can save anybody who will call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. And we just need to have that burden and that drive and that compassion. How do we deal with the confused? Can you go... Just real quick, I don't want to go too long on this. You're in a good church. You're being trained and you're being taught. And I will tell you that one of the things going on in Baptist churches today, and I'm not talking about good Baptist churches. I'm talking about the ones who are departing the faith because they want to become more relevant to the world out there. Can I tell you what? The world doesn't need more worldly Christians. You know what they need? They need Christians who have been evangelized, saved, and then they've been baptized, they're in a church, they got a family now, they got a whole new beginning, come on now, amen? And then teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, amen? Well, if you will, go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And the Bible says, in verse 2, he says, aged men... Here's what I want you to teach. I want you to teach the aged men to be sober, grave, temperate, sound of the faith, and charity, and in patience. And I don't have time to preach this whole message, but folks, these people were some really bad, wicked sinners. You know how I know that? Because God described them in chapter 1. Go to verse 10. Titus chapter 1 and verse 10, the Bible says, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, specifically they of the circumcision. He's talking about Jewish hypocrites there. Okay? And then it says in verse 11, it says, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. They're doing it to make money. It says, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, saith, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. This witness is true. I got to ask you a question. How many of y'all would like to put on your resume, well, I'm an evil beast, slow belly, and always a liar? Any of y'all get tired of taking 10 minutes to get a hamburger that used to take 1 minute? Because young people haven't been taught how to work. And the value of laboring and going home tired. Amen. And you know what he says? He said, Paul, these are some wicked, backward people who have been mistaught. And so I want you to go teach the old men how to be old men. And I don't mean old. I mean men. And then... the mature ladies. See what I did there? You need to teach the other ladies how to be ladies. Amen? And folks, you do that in church today. You say, well, why do they teach us how to dress? And why do they teach us how to love one another? And why do they teach us what? I'll tell you why. Because we weren't taught in the world. He says, young men, old men, I want you to teach the young men how to be a young man. Amen. You're a young man, sir. Would you help me? Could you? Appreciate that. It's good to meet you. My name is Mark Bradshaw. Woo, look at that. He went all the way to the palm.
Amen.
He looked me in the eye. He stood up to do it. And used your man voice. I appreciate that. Very good job. Thank you. That's funny, but I'll promise you this. In this church, I have no doubt you guys know how a young man's supposed to shake a hand.
Right.
Never shake a man's hand sitting down. And if they say, I don't get up, you know what you should do? Thank you. By the way, if you're in the military, never shake a man's hand with a gloved hand. Thank you. Okay, if you don't know, that's true. The other day, I taught this to our young men, and all the young men walked out of the church. Made me happy. Folks, we got people in our communities don't know what it means to be a young man. They don't know what it means to be a father. They don't know what it means to be a mother. They don't know what it means to be a young lady. Well, you insist on everybody wearing a dress. Please take this the right way. And if you have that issue, can I ask you to pray about it? Because we're not trying to make you conform. Trying to give you the tools to raise your families to have an influence on a society that desperately needs us not to be like them, but to be like God's children. And I'm out of time, but can I tell you this? There's a difference between witnessing to people from Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 17. In Acts chapter 2, they had a biblical foundation. You could just hit them with the gospel. Acts chapter 17, he had to say, let me introduce you to the unknown God. And it requires patience, and it requires vigilance, and it requires maybe getting insulted every once in a while. Amen. Why? Well, I'll tell you why. Because we've been given a great commission. We are to go into all the world. And yes, we're supposed to give our money. And yes, we're supposed to pray. And yes, if God's put a calling on your life, please, please, please don't let the Lord destroy that. Finish your course. But that doesn't excuse us, the rest of us. Because there is some young man out there that you could teach how to use a shovel. How to use a hammer. How to mow a yard. And you say, well, that's not soul winning. That's connecting.
Yes. Amen.
And that's mentoring. And that's giving that young man tools to have a successful life and overcome all the lies and all the absenteeism in that person's life.
Yeah.
And they need us to be sincere about it. Don't do anything we just talked about to make your pastor happy. Do it because you know it's the right thing to do. He'll be happy. Okay. He'll be happy. And on some, say it with me, and on some, having compassion, making a difference. How many of y'all want to make a difference on some of these folks? And folks, this is a missions conference, but that is your missions field. Would to God we wouldn't be repelled, and would to God we wouldn't say, let's get away from them. Would to God maybe we just have some compassion and say, that poor child's never been taught how to make breakfast. That poor child's never been taught how to dress themselves. Listen, when I joined the military, they had to teach us how to shave, how to tie a tie. You guys remember that?
Yep.
You know why? Because their dads didn't do it. Amen. I'm sorry, I'm going to go 1 second long. Y'all remember getting pretend shave kits? Remember those? Man, that was a good Christmas present. Okay? Why? They need more than Pokemon. They need more than Disney Channel. They need a man and a woman and a young man and a young lady that cares and will show some compassion on them and make a difference. Would to God that we could do that. Let's all stand if you would. Listen, the invitation's from the Lord. Maybe God's put a person on your heart, just somebody that you want to come pray for. Maybe God would just, I don't know what he'd have you to do, but if God's moving, why don't you come?